Translation, O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by his internal powers. Purport, for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, himself appears in many thousands of forms of incarnations, and the specific adventures found in those transcendental forms are all auspicious. Both those who are present during such activities and those who hear the transcendental narrations of such activities are benefited.
I was born blinded by the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I therefore offer my humble obeisances unto him. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishnabhaya Bhutale Shrimate Shivaram Swamnita Namane. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishnabhaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamnita Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharneshtarne. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langa yate girim yat kripatam aham bande shri gurundina tarnam. Offer my humble obeisances unto my spiritual master, the friend of the poor, by whose mercy the lame can cross mountains and the dumb can recite eloquent poetry. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Let me offer my humble obeisances unto Srila Rupa Goswami, who has established the mission of Lord Chaitanya's to spread the Sankirtan mission throughout this world. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer their humble obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadaya Pushpanvanto Chitro Shando Tamo Nado. I offer my humble obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who have arisen simultaneously over the horizon of Gaudadesh, just like the sun and the moon, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and to wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Ata kya hi hare diman avatara katashubha lila vidatata svairam ishvaras yatma mayaya. A wise suitor, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by his internal powers. So this giving of the Srimad Bhagavatam class is a combined project between the speaker and the audience. And I heard recently that the greater responsibility is upon the audience, even more so than upon the speaker. Sometimes there is transmission of knowledge even when the speaker is unqualified, and as long as the audience is qualified. And sometimes there's transmission of knowledge when the speaker is qualified and the audience is not qualified. But in this class, we'll be mainly depending upon the audience. But an example of this I heard recently was when, one devotee gave a class in Melbourne, and he was saying how one time a thief was plying his trade, and the policeman saw him, so he was running from the police, and he ducked around the corner, and he saw that there's this huge crowd attending a Bhagavat Sapta, So he thought, great, let me just dive in the middle and the police will never see me. So he did that. And the police were looking for him and couldn't find him. There's so many people in this audience. And the thief thought, well, I just got to relax here and settle in and just make myself feel at home, because if I go out there, they're still looking for me. So he just sat there and he listened to the person giving the class. And the person was talking about Krishna and how he's beautifully ornamented and has gold bracelets and jewelry. And the thief thought, whoa, that sounds like my kind of kid, you know, who I could sort of steal from. So he was listening more attentively and he was really getting absorbed and hearing how Krishna lives in Vrindavan and it's this wonderful environment. And so he stayed there for the whole class and went to Vrindavan to try and find this Krishna. And he had a very earnest desire to find Krishna. And because of that earnest desire, Krishna appeared before him. And when he saw Krishna's beauty, as often happens, all his nefarious motives disappeared and he became purified. So in that case, the speaker was qualified, the audience was not qualified. But still there was a successful, auspicious conclusion. And the other example he gave was of a person called Lala Babu, who has a temple in Vrindavan. And his background was that he was a very wealthy landholder in Bengal. Apparently, like, phenomenally wealthy. And he was also a refined personality, so he would often study the scriptures. But without really having a great taste for the scripture, but he was nonetheless associating with the scriptures. So his habit was to go on a palanquin with all his entourage and just the people carrying his palanquin, he would direct them to walk along the Ganges River. And this was happening one afternoon, one evening actually. And he heard this voice. And this person was saying, calling out, "The day is over. Burn the vasana. Burn all the vasanas." And this word vasana has two meanings. In Bengali, it can also mean desires. And so when Lalu Babu heard this person calling out, he thought, so is this a sort of a voice that is telling me my life is coming to a conclusion, I should start to rid myself of all my desires? And he was contemplating this. And a little further down the Ganges, he heard another voice. It was a young lady's voice. And this time the voice said a similar thing. "The day is over. Wake up." And what it was is this young girl was trying to wake up her brother, who was just a very lazy person. And the day was over. At the sandhya, it's very inauspicious to sleep. Between the sun setting and the darkness, just at any sandhya, it's inauspicious to sleep. When the sun's rising, it's inauspicious to be asleep. And when the sun's setting, it's inauspicious to be asleep. So she's trying to get her brother to get up, her lazy brother to get up. But this Lalu Baba thought, is this another voice telling me that the day is over? You know, my life is coming to an end soon. I should wake up to myself. I should start to become serious about my spiritual life. And then he told his people to take him back to his house. And then he thought, maybe that was Krishna. The first voice was Krishna and the second voice was Srimati Radharani. And it was playing on his mind. And then
He was, even though he had this fabulous wealth, he renounced everything and went to Vrindavan. So in this case, the speakers were not qualified, but the hearer was qualified. So it needs at least one. But I've, of course, the ideal is when both are qualified. So, in the verse, it's this whole section is talking about the importance of hearing transcendental knowledge and how this brings us the ultimate benefit. It's the ultimate good. Something, you know, when we ask ourselves what is good and what is not good, then we have to measure what's good with in terms of its ultimate result. Because many things, as we know from the Bhagavad Gita, that some things seem good in the beginning, but in the end they become like poison. So this short-term measuring isn't going to give us the truth. We have two terms in Sanskrit, prayas and shreyas. Prayas means the short term, and shreyas means the ultimate. So something has to always be measured, how it's going to ultimately turn out. And we have to sort of analyze it in terms of who we are, which is Satchitananda. So when we're sort of seeing if something's good or bad, is this behavior good? Is this decision good? Is this attitude good? We need to ask ourselves, is this behavior, attitude, decision, whatever, is it going to enhance my eternality? Is it going to enhance my knowledge? Is it going to enhance my happiness? And not just in the prayers, not just in the short term, but in the ultimate panning out. Does it bring me closer to my Satchit Ananda identity? And if it does, it's good. And if it doesn't, to the degree that it doesn't, it's bad. Because it's so important that, as the Gita says, it's an item of knowledge. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnana tadarshanam, that we understand the importance of self-realization and that we search, it says philosophically search for the absolute truth. What is stopping us from being able to philosophically search for the absolute truth is attachments, material attachments and material identifications. That is inhibiting our ability to be broad-minded and free-thinking. The holding on to material identification, the holding on to material attachments. I'll give an example. I went for a swim at the leisure center recently, and I had a sauna at the same. I went and had a sauna after the swim, and there was this chap in there, and he was complaining to me about his, physical ailments and his sore shoulder and this knee and things like that. And I said to him that I've got all sorts of, things wrong with my body as well, but I just think, I'm getting on in years and I just kind of, what's the point of getting too concerned about it? And he said, yeah, well, you've got still a long life to live, so, you should be concerned about it. And I said, well, I don't even identify with this body in the first place. I have a deeper understanding of who I am than just this body. And he said, what do you mean?
So I said, well, you know, you think about it. And I say this sometimes on the Sankirtan when I'm distributing books. I have it kind of quite succinctly. I can express it in quite a succinct way. So I said to him, well, the skin cells, they get replaced every 2 weeks, isn't it? He said, yeah. I said, when you get a cut, it's all healed within 2 weeks because all the skin cells have been replaced, because cells are dying and cells are being created and there's a turnover. So the turnover is complete after 2 weeks in the case of the skin cells. You got all new skin every 2 weeks. And he's nodding his head, showing some interest. And I said, other parts of the body take longer, but the whole body is replaced. Every cell of your body is replaced every 7 years. You don't have one single atom in your body that you had 7 years ago. They're all new. And he goes, wow, I never thought of that. And so I said, so it means we're not the body. And he was nodding his head. And I said, and so it means you're not your body either. And he's nodding his head. And then I said to him, so if you're not your body, he goes, yeah. I said, then who are you? And it was quite dramatic. It came out quite dramatic. And he just kind of flipped on the spot because it was too radical an affair for him to kind of, for his mind to cope with. And he was saying, oh, well, you're trying to spook me or something. You know, he said, you think too deeply, mate. You're thinking too deeply. And he went all defensive, and then quite quickly he sort of went out of the sauna, and he'll probably never go back to that leisure center for the rest of his life. But the point I'm making is that, you know, we all have these material identifications. And when they're taken from us, there's sort of a vertigo can sort of happen, a bit of a dizziness can happen. And people are not identifying with their souls, they're identifying with their bodies, with their job, with their families, with their car, with their house. And the thought of these things being taken from them send people's minds into a spin. And and when, you know, that's something that all of us have to learn how to do, not identify with the material energy. In the Bhagavatam it says, antakali to purusha. Antakali means at the end of time. Antakali to purusha, the person, the purusha. Antakali to purusha agate gata sadvasaha chindyad. So it means to cut. Chindyad asakta, all these attachments. Chindyad asakta shastrena, with the weapon of renunciation, we have to cut all of our material attachments. It says the attachment to the body, spriham, and spriham means desires. Excuse me. And we have to cut off all the attachments that are related to the body in terms of desires for the body. We have to cut all these things off. And that requires hearing from self-realized souls. To become self-realized, you have to hear from someone who's self-realized. I think it was Einstein who said that you can't solve a problem with the same mentality that caused the problem. So you can't, Prabhupada would often say, a person whose hands are tied, he can't free himself. He needs to be freed by someone whose hands are untied. So if someone's in the modes of nature, they can't become free from the modes of nature by associating with other people who are in the modes of nature. And if we have
attachments, if our mind has got all sorts of material identifications, then we can't free that mind by any mental process. So it needs the association of someone who's a liberated soul. And it, even if the person isn't themselves like entirely a liberated soul, but as long as they're connected to someone who's a liberated soul, as long as they're connected ultimately to someone who's a liberated soul, this is the parampara. And then if you're connected to them, of course, there's the whole science of the reciprocation and the rapport, how knowledge is transmitted, not by force, but by love, by affection, and by trust. Love and trust, that's how knowledge is transmitted. This type of knowledge that I'm talking about, the knowledge of how to become liberated, it's transmitted through the relationship of love and trust between the spiritual master and the disciple. I've lost my train of thought here. Any comments or questions so far on any of the points being made? Yeah, Nishkanchana Prabhu is saying how, is saying, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So if we simply intellectually defeat somebody, then they will not, you know, in the past we know that there was honor in terms of philosophical discourses between different people, and if somebody could see the superior logic and the superior reason, then they would simply accept that and relinquish their position, which was an inferior position. But pride is one of the great obstacles, and in Kali Yuga people hold on to this pride. And so if we convince them of the philosophy, but it's done in a certain way which is just impersonal, then they will not accept it. Because the reason, as far as I can understand, the reason why that is because if they can't understand that there's such a thing as an absolute truth, if they can't understand that there's an absolute truth, then their truth, even though yours sounds more convincing and it sounds more logical, they can still defend their truth to the very end. Because without the absolute truth, all you have really left is might means right. It's all that's left is willpower and the will to power. So you may have the absolute truth, but if they don't accept the concept of an absolute truth, then their will, like man are convinced against his will, they will not relinquish that will to be the supreme, to be, you know, they'll just simply say, well, that's just, like this guy said, you know, are you trying to spook me, are you? Because somehow I was removing his material identification too rapidly. It was my fault, actually. I'm sort of not so pleased with myself, actually, because if I had done it more gently, then it could have had a more fruitful conclusion. So that's an important point to keep in mind, that Krishna is the absolute truth. And relative truths mean simply might means right. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Iskandar Guru Vrinda ki jai. You have a question?